Back to Who's There. I'm your host, Allison. If you're new here, thank you for joining us. This is a podcast where I talk to a new horror fan every week because I hope to destigmatize what it means to be a horror movie fan. Because most of us are just regular people who like the adrenaline rush of being scared for some reason, and here we delve into those reasons. This week on the podcast, we have Tyler Geis, who is the host of the Hangout podcast, Tyler Geis's Basement, where he hangs out with his friends and they talk about different movie genres that they dig, often horror. Tyler is a lifelong horror movie fan, and we talked about how he got into the genre, why he started his podcast, and some of the spooky places he ventured to in Massachusetts while he was growing up. He also makes the case for using horror as a method for catharsis and how it can make us feel less alone. One last thing before we get into this episode, if you love the show and haven't left us a review yet on iTunes, I'd be so grateful if you could take a second to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and subscribe to our feed wherever you listen to us. Thank you to everyone who's already left us a review. It's so appreciated as it really helps people find us. I think that's it. So let's get into this episode with Tyler Geis. Hey, Tyler, how are you?
I'm good, Allison. How are you today?
I'm good. Thank you. Thank you so much for being here. Tell everyone a little bit about yourself, where you're from, etc.
So my name is Tyler. I'm a writer, filmmaker, whatnot from, down in Florida right now, Central Florida, Orlando area. I'm originally from the Northeast, Western Mass, which is, you know, a nice place to grow up. Very artsy, a lot of spooky tales, a lot of spooky history. So I've always kind of been interested in things like that from childhood. So I think that's why I probably have a lot to talk about on something like this.
Awesome. Later you will have to tell me about some of the spooky tales that you grew up with, because I love
that stuff. Yeah.
All right, cool. But first things first, what's your favorite scary movie?
All right. So to kind of kick it into what really kicked it off for me, around the beginning of high school, and I always kind of dabbled with the horror genre throughout childhood, but I want to say when I was a teenager, and this is very generic, it's a titan of the genre, but I saw Halloween, the original one. And I'm sure you've had a guest or two that has maybe mentioned it before that it's their favorite.
Yeah.
But yeah, I saw it on AMC Fear Fest, because they do that every month of October. They just show horror movies nonstop. And I was a little petrified. I was very aware of that franchise. Michael Myers creeped me out so much. And I remember being a kid, and I think like part 6 was coming out, and the trailer just made me shit my pants. So part 1 comes on, but before part 1, the first one comes on, there was like a little mini documentary about behind the scenes of it. And I learned a lot about John Carpenter. I learned a lot about kind of his process and the mechanics of making a movie. So the first time I watched it wasn't even really coming from a horror fan's perspective. It was kind of me reverse engineering how he was able to do these scares and do something on such a low budget. And it really kind of made me start moving forward with the career trajectory or career path, whatever you want to call it, that I wanted to run with. So, excuse me. So it was definitely Halloween for me.
That's awesome. That sounds like a similar experience that I had to watching The Shining for the first time. I'm going to assume that after watching the movie Halloween, after watching the making of, or, you know, behind the scenes, made Halloween not scary.
That is absolutely true. And I think that's why it cushioned the blow a little bit.
Yeah.
And because to just kind of know that there was a guy in a chair calling action and kind of working this stuff out in his head made me a little more comfortable with watching it. And I think that's why I was able to really start exploring the genre and not have this mentality of, oh, this is made, these movies are made by complete psychopaths, when actually they're made by very intelligent people.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, when I was in high school, a friend and I rented the VHS of The Shining to watch it. And we missed the title card or something, but they put like an entire 45 minutes of the making of The Shining on before the movie. We didn't know it was the making of. We thought it was the movie. And then after, when like a title card came up, that's like, now the feature presentation, we're like, what? That wasn't... So it made The Shining not scary to me. And I've always just found The Shining kind of boring. but you know, send your hate tweets to me.
Can I ask you the question? Do you know about the how Stephen King feels about it?
Oh, I know he hates it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's something Stephen King and I have in common.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Yeah. All right. Well, my next question is how did you first fall in love with the horror genre? But I think you kind of covered that already, or what you said kind of covered how you fell in love with filmmaking a little through horror. But how did you actually decide you loved horror after watching Halloween?
It's kind of that chasing the dragon feeling. You get this one little taste of it, and now you know there's other things out there you can go explore. Cause I didn't really watch a lot of the Friday the 13th, and I mean, now I'm wearing that. I just showed a t-shirt that I'm wearing, but I just wanted to see everything out there. And yeah, I just wanted to do this deep dive. And, you know, now I would go to video stores and just go to the horror section and find like something like a cover that jumped out at me. And this is 2002. So VHS it's pretty much gone. Like the DVD boom has really kind of taken over. But around that time, I remember there was a lot of PG-13 horror out. The Ring. I don't remember if The Grudge was PG-13, but I remember maybe I snuck into that one. But a lot of the American remakes of the Asian horror films was coming out. And I just remember going a lot to see these things. And I just wanted it all. And I just remember week after week, I wouldn't be going to see friends. I would be at the video store just doing deep dives. And to touch on video store stories, I remember with the horror section when I was like 4 or 5, my mom would take me to this little hole in the wall video store. I'd rent the same thing every time. I'd rent either Disney's animated Peter Pan or the Goonies. But what I would do is when she wasn't looking, when she was, I don't know, going to find something she was going to get, I would dare myself to peek into the horror aisle. And I'd see things like Leprechaun 3, the one he's in, I think that's the one he's in Vegas. I don't know, but I'm not really familiar with that franchise, and I'd see things like Jason Takes Manhattan I remember it was Friday the 13th part 3, something about like the silhouette of him on that VHS cover sticking a machete through like some blinds just gave me nightmares. So I would always just dare myself to walk through the aisle real quick and just take a peek at stuff. And then hopefully my mom didn't see me, even though, you know, she knew I was going to be turned on to this stuff at some point. She never gave me any crap about it.
That's good. Speaking of video stores, did you watch The Last Blockbuster on Netflix?
Oh, yes, I did. Yes, yeah. I did. And I mean, I actually want to make a pilgrimage out to, it's Oregon, right?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a sucker for physical media. There's still your little pop-up stores here and there, but when that documentary dropped, I loved the backstory of what happened with Blockbuster and Netflix and everything. But something about that store, how they're still going, I don't know. I've been looking at flights out to like Portland since I've seen that video, that movie.
Oh, that's fun. Yeah, I'm a fan of physical media too. I know people just like download movies now or they buy them through Amazon, but I like having them on physical, you know, physical copies. Cause what happens when the internet goes down?
That thought went through my head last night. Cause I think I was midway through just some Netflix film. I can't even think what it was. And it just, that thought goes through my head from time to time with, okay, what if in 20 years, Netflix goes bankrupt, goes away? Where are all these originals going to go? Where's, you know, companies rise and fall in the country all the time. And so that's why I try to hold on to as much as I can. Like I said, I'm down here in Florida. There's a place in Tampa, and I think they're still closed because of COVID. The owner doesn't want to open it back up, but he thrives on online sales. Called Grindhouse Video. And it's in like, it's, I mean, just hearing the sound Grindhouse Video and you pull up to the place, it's in like this ran down strip mall like in Tampa, and you don't even know if it's open or not when you go there. And I've on days off, I mean, I haven't been out there obviously in a while, but I've just on days off, I've driven out there and I go in there and I could be in there all day. Cause just, it's the typical old school video store feel. They got all the Blu-rays from Arrow, Vinegar Syndrome, all those new labels out there that find your cult classics. Plus there's a DVD section. Plus there's actually an old VHS section in the back. And I could go live in that place for a while. I just wanted to give it a shout out.
Awesome. Well, I'll have to put a link to them in the show notes so you can go buy DVDs and Blu-rays for them.
Definitely.
Yeah. I stopped buying DVDs and Blu-rays for a little while. For like a few years, I was like, everything's online, I don't need it. And then the internet went down one day, and I was like looking through my collection, and it's like it's mostly from that I bought at Best Buy when I was in high school. So it's not updated at all. It's like it's like those cheesy early 2000s horror movies that everyone hates. I kind of like them, some of them, but
yeah, I do too.
So I've been buying DVDs and Blu-rays used, because a lot of people set up tables on the street in New York City and just sell Blu-rays and DVDs and books. So I've just been going to these tables and seeing what they have. I went to one yesterday. One guy was there. He was buying like, it looked like 30 DVDs and Blu-rays. I was like, oh, is that yours? He's like, yeah, all these are mine. I was like, all right, cool.
Sometimes, and even just today, my wife and my father-in-law went over to a farmer's market, and in the town I'm in, there's a little thrift shop, and it's a nice thrift shop because actually like a percentage of the proceeds go to an animal shelter.
Oh.
So I try to scope it out from time to time, and there's like a stack of like DVDs in the back, and at these thrift shops, at these flea markets, at these hole in the wall places that just have a little stack for $2, you can find some gems.
Oh yeah.
Not even just in like horror. You can just find something you haven't seen in 25 years.
Yeah. I got at a thrift shop the other day, I got a 2-disc set of The Others for $3.
Wow. I haven't seen that in forever.
It's so good. I think it's either on HBO Max or Netflix. It's so good. And it's a PG-13 horror movie, but it's so creepy. Yeah. Anyway, after that tangent, what's your favorite subgenre in horror?
So I think, just because of how I got started, I do like the slashers, but I don't always go after the Freddy's, Jason's, Michael Myers, Leatherface's. I always try to find, I think what's actually kind of guided me into different directions, I've watched a lot of Italian giallo films. Those, I can't really give you like a deep dive of knowledge because I still don't even really know what I'm talking about with that genre, but I've been watching them a lot because I think I enjoy watching, wow, that's going to sound messed up. I enjoy the slasher, the serial killer stuff, the whodunit stuff. I like that stuff. My wife watches the real stuff, the real murder documentaries. But I like that. But one thing I think in the last 5 years I've just been in the hunt for, and anytime I find it, even if I've never heard of it, is I love like movies about cults. Yeah. And even if it's not full on horror, if there's just something about cults that I'm absolutely petrified of, and but yet I'm intrigued. I don't ever want to join one. I don't ever want to take part in that lifestyle at all. But I just, anything like just a good kind of gateway thing into that subgenre is something like The Wicker Man, and how that movie is for 90 minutes for the first hour, it's a investigative thing. But those last 30 minutes, I dread them. Even when I rewatch it, of just what's going to happen. But I think cults is kind of my new thing. Anything from documentaries, because those things, it's real. Like there's cults out there to this day. And I've actually been writing some stuff, some horror related stuff, fiction stuff that has to kind of do with that, what's going on.
Awesome. Did you see The Invitation on Netflix?
Don't even get me going.
I have to, I ask everyone when this comes up, when would you have left that dinner party?
Probably after they show, probably after they show the video of like the person dying, which I want to say is 20 minutes in. And I mean, if I'm the main character in that, I'm just not going in general. I'm not going to my ex-wife's party, and our kid had, spoiler alert, passed away or died tragically. But that was a movie my wife and I watched. It. I feel like I'm bringing up my wife a lot, but that was a movie me and her watched, and I'd heard so much about it. I'd heard podcasts with the director on plenty of times. One night we just scrolled past it, and I'm like, this is like 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. Okay, I'm in. And that is such a claustrophobic movie too. Yeah. Like they're in this house, and there's something about that house where the shots get smaller and smaller, and you know, nobody really gets injured or killed on screen till really the kind of towards the end. So like with all these people in this small little house, it just, I just remember feeling so tense and so uneasy about it. And that's a testament to the director, the name's escaping me, but it just I love it. Just sum it up. I love it. It was a great film.
Yeah. Karen Kusama.
Yes. Sorry.
She also directed Jennifer's Body, I think.
Yes. That I think has caught a second life.
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
I remember when that came out, a few friends of mine, and it was me and like three other dudes, but, I just remember like my friends didn't like it. They didn't get it. And I was just like, I remember saying to them, I'm like, yeah, watch that movie be something in about 5 years. I don't know. I feel like there's something that's going to hit. It's going to find its audience.
Well, speaking of movies that might have a different interpretation or following in 5 years, have you seen, since you said you like Giallo, have you seen Malignant yet that just came out?
Tonight, as we record this, that's my,
okay.
That's my movie I'm watching tonight.
It's being compared. It's being called very Giallo, or however you'd say that. So I saw it last night. I thought it was fucking bonkers, but I will let you make your own decision.
James Wan. I'll shoot you an email to follow up after I've seen it. But
okay,
James Wan, to me, him and maybe like two or three other guys. I don't know. James Wan's kind of like a director that can really scare me right now, contemporary. I know he's stepped out of the genre a little bit with doing a Fast and Furious movie, but he just, Conjuring 1 and 2, they're fun to go back to, but I remember I saw Conjuring 2 by myself on a day off. I was the only one, it was me and someone else in the theater. And I lowballed it. I was like, the first one was really scary, but I don't know, you know, it's fun. This ain't going to scare me that bad. And of course the nun just got me. And the
really?
Wait, you didn't like the nun?
Oh my God. I hated the nun so much.
I didn't like the nun movie they did. Just wasn't really my bag.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant the nun, the movie you thought was
scary. Conjuring 2, she just okay. that scene with the painting,
yeah,
I don't know, I feel like he just that's just James Wan firing on all cylinders.
Yeah, definitely. So who are your favorite horror directors overall
of all time?
Yeah,
let's go with Carpenter. I'm gonna go John Carpenter, maybe John Carpenter, Wes Craven, and maybe Romero. I just think I know those guys are just, they're titans of the genre for a reason. I think George Romero's, well, to mention Craven and George Romero, I think they always made something that was like ahead of the curve. I think there's even things like, to speak on Wes Craven, there's things in Scream 4 that I think we're just ahead of the curve a little bit. Like there's kind of that like social media influencer vibe at times with some of the characters. And that was like 2011, I believe. Yeah. And, you know, later on you know, we have people like that out there. And yeah. I don't know. I just, and obviously things with like George Romero, to go back to Night of the Living Dead. And I mean, to cast a African-American man in the late 1960s in a horror movie, you know, and I think Romero said like, you know, he was just the best man for the role. But a lot of people think that like he was trying to convey a lot of social commentary with that, because a lot of that movie isn't even, to me, a lot about the zombies. It's about like people needing to get along for a greater good. And that, you know, propels forward even to Day of the Dead, when pretty much society has completely crumbled and everybody's still arguing of to get their point across. I watched Day of the Dead during COVID lockdown, and that was, I just was like, wow, this is everything going on in the world right now.
Yeah. You're like, you watched them years before and you're like, this would never happen. We'd all get along.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't get it. I think I watch a lot of horror movies, but they don't really bother me, because I think I'm just working out my anxieties and I'm feeling some cathartic feelings while I'm just, you know, I'm getting this release from what I'm seeing on screen. So therefore, when I have to turn on the news and whatever's happening in the world this week is happening, you know, it's not that I don't feel better, but it's almost like I can maybe manage a little more.
Yeah. So that leads into my next question. Why do you think that people who seem perfectly sane love the horror genre?
Well, to just kind of continue what I was saying, I think when you see it's almost like, let me take that from the top. Well, you see like a comedy film and you want to feel good and you laugh, maybe if you were feeling down about things, and you're just kind of getting those feelings out to maybe uplift you a little bit. If you have a lot of, you know, fear of things going on in the world and you see something like They Live, or which doesn't really have a lot of scare tactics in it, but personally for me, but I think there's a message in there that I just get, and makes me look at what might be going on in the world. I think it's cathartic for me to know that there's somebody else that may feel that way out there like myself. And again, it's just a release. You feel better. You're working out things. We're all human beings. We're all part good, part bad. And I think if we just kind of find a way to work out the bad side of us, it makes us more a little even keel, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. An article came out last year that said that horror movie fans were handling lockdown better than non-horror movie fans. Why do you think that is?
Because we've waited for this time.
We've been preparing for it.
No, you're right. You're right. We haven't really waited for it, because we probably hoped this day would never come, but we're usually thinking about things like this. So therefore, you're right. We've prepared for it. I have a ton of movies that I've wanted to watch that I've never gotten to, that are full of things that are absolutely going to, you know, put me on edge and make me nervous. Now's the perfect time to watch them. Or maybe it's not the perfect time to watch them. You could argue that, because there were some things I saw that, I don't know, just hit too close to home. But yeah, it kind of was like, here's the stuff. Here's something that we've put on screen or put on paper, just whatever we've done, maybe creatively out in the world, or for just movie fans. And here it is now, really happening. And it's kind of this, like, you know, to anybody else, you're kind of like, I told you so. Something like this could happen. And here we are. We're prepared. You're not. If you want to know how to be prepared, just, you know, follow what we're doing.
I remember at the beginning of the pandemic, I watched Outbreak and Contagion, and I think that was it. But I was like, yeah, I can do this. It's fine.
Wasn't the, I just remember by like April, hoping that this all was going to wrap up.
Oh yeah. We thought it would be 6 weeks.
Yeah. I won't lie. I don't know. I was having a lot of phone calls with my parents, and you know, my dad gave me the whole like, look, I'm not knocking my dad here, but like, you know, by the summertime, you know, this is a, you know, it'll clear up from the heat, especially down there in Florida. And, you know, I mean, to be honest, in Florida, we just wrote COVID off last summer. That's just how it was. I'm saying that sarcastically, but
you in Texas both.
Yeah. Texas. Yeah. No comment.
Yeah, maybe someday this will end, but I didn't expect the pandemic to be over as soon as this year, because I think the pandemic of 1918 lasted a few years. So, and especially with a whole bunch of people not wanting to get vaccinated, they're just making it last even longer. So get vaccinated, everyone. Stop being an asshole.
Yeah, I actually just had, I just had to take a COVID. I am vaccinated, but I just had to take a COVID test because someone I work with happened to test positive. So we all had to, I don't know if they're vaccinated or not, but someone test positive. And there's just down here in Florida, I don't really want to go into this completely, but there's just kind of this at times invasion of the body snatchers vibe, like especially post election last year. Like, Florida is pretty much a big MAGA country down here. But there's, you know, the little group of us that aren't. And, you know, I don't know if we're just the silent minority or silent majority. Who knows? Oh, we're definitely not the majority. But it just, you talk to some people down here with their hot takes on science, and you just, I can't help but like think of something like body snatchers. Like, did something latch onto you and are like, just warp things for you? There's just so much. I don't even know what it is, but it's kind of scary sometimes just hearing opinions from just strangers down here in a grocery store. You overhear a lot of the craziest stuff down here.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. I haven't been to Florida in years, and I will probably not be there again anytime soon, but,
sorry.
I would love to be a fly on the wall and just hear people's stupidity. Sometimes, well, I have been on dating apps recently where some guy lectured me about why he wasn't vaccinated because he was a naturalist and he was reading the reports on the Pfizer vaccine, but he had only sort of read them. So he was lecturing me not being a doctor and having only like skimmed the reports. I was like, I was like, you, good luck. You do you.
Good luck. On a dating site. Wow.
Yeah. Anyway. Wow. All right. So how do you decide what to watch when you're looking for a horror movie to watch when you're relaxing or whatnot?
So my go-to to kick things off when I'm like, tonight's a horror night. Tonight, I don't know. Usually it's Sunday night. I like to kick off the week to go into the week strong.
Yeah.
So like tonight, obviously. So when we're recording this tonight, but I usually start, unless there's something I know that's out there, I'm going to jump to, but I will start with Shudder. Shudder is incredible. Shudder just, and it's, I've been subscribed, since like late 2018, and I'd heard about it through other podcasts, horror podcasts specifically. And there is just something, I mean, they're acquiring a lot of exclusive and original stuff. There's just always something on there, whether it's your big time, like they've had Halloween 1 and 4 and 5 on there, I think, since I've had the streaming service, but they've had a lot of foreign stuff comes in that, you know, I highly suggest everybody watch foreign horror movies. There's just so much that, oh my God, like, to me, one of my favorite horror movies is Audition. Oh,
I haven't watched it because I don't like body horror and I hear it's really graphic.
Well, the last 15, 20 minutes. Yeah. But an hour and a half build up to it. It's not a movie that necessarily jumps out and scares you, but while you're watching it, you're like, something is wrong. Something is making me feel really wrong about it. And it just makes you feel gross. But So yeah, I always start with Shudder, and you know, 90% of the time I can find something on Shudder that they're dropping new stuff weekly. I almost can't even keep up with it. It's the Netflix of horror films, but you know, from there I just jump around. I've been trying to do better with watching genre TV. I'm way behind on American Horror Story. I don't know even what the hell is going on. I've never watched it, so I don't know.
That's just something I've never been able to get into.
Yeah, I have a friend who swears by it, but I can't get around to it. And I even have a friend of mine back home who worked on the new season. But yeah, Shudder's where I start. And from there, if I need to branch out, I need to branch out. But, you know, there's the big argument now that Netflix doesn't put enough horror films on. And I got to kind of stand behind that. I think they can do better.
But Netflix, if you're listening, do better.
Yeah.
Have you watched the movie Superhost on Shudder yet?
No, I'm behind on that. I'm so sorry.
No, that's fine. No, it came out on like September 2nd. So it's very new. Yeah, it's good though.
I might this week get to that, as well as Jacob's Wife with Barbara Crampton.
Okay. I haven't watched that yet, but I've seen people talk about it.
Okay. I heard it's a lot. I heard it's a fun vampire flick.
Oh, okay. Then maybe I'll skip it. I'm not really into vampires. Watching people suck each other's blood just grosses me out.
All right. You know, that's a valid point.
Yeah. I watched Interview with a Vampire for the first time last year, and I was like, this is gross.
I still have never, ever seen that.
Oh, it's the gayest movie ever.
Wild.
It's such a gay movie. And I don't mean that in a bad way, way. It's just very... there's so much sexual tension between all the male vampires. I'm like, just make out already. we wouldn't mind it. It's some very attractive men, but yeah, I was like, this is silly and gross. And I don't think this is what they meant to make, but maybe they did. I don't know. Are there any horror movies that you won't watch or that you won't ever watch again?
There's some things that one and done for me, yeah. Well, first of all, and I've listened to some of your past episodes, and I think one you did maybe, I feel like it's a couple weeks ago, you touched on, you know, when dogs die in movies. Yeah, if I start a horror movie and I see a dog in it that's like kind of playing a pivotal, not like pivotal, but it's there.
Yeah.
I think there's a website called like, does the dog die or something? Mm-hmm. And you can look it up and see if the dog dies. I do that. And I remember the first time I ever did that was, and this isn't a movie I'm writing off, but I saw Rob Zombie's Lords of Salem, and Rob Zombie can put some extreme stuff sometimes in his movies for a guy that gets like a nationwide release mostly. And like his wife in it, his wife in real life, who's leading it, she has a golden retriever. And I was like, no, please don't kid. And I looked it up and I was like, oh, thank God the dog doesn't die. Spoiler alert, dog doesn't die. But yeah, to me, when animals are harmed, and I know, I just go back to the start of the show, Halloween has a German shepherd that gets killed, but I think that's, it's just such a, it just looks so low budget and looks fake. And they had like a trained German shepherd to like, just kind of slouch and pretend it's like falling asleep or dying, and you don't see its face. And it's so quick that, that doesn't really affect me. But I think if you're just emotionally invested in the fact that there's an animal, it kind of just, I don't know, it makes me nervous. I do look away. There's a lot of non-horror stuff where I know a dog is going to die. What is it? Is it Single White Female? I think from the 90s with Bridget Fonda. And, I forget the other actress's name. I think she's an Oscar winner, but they have like a little dog and the dog falls. I don't want to keep talking about dogs dying.
Okay. So you won't watch movies where dogs die.
Yeah. But it's just like, have you ever heard of, Cannibal Holocaust?
Yes.
That's a one and done for me, just because it's like one of those, you know, films that like it's been banned, and you know there's a big story behind it, And I finally played it one night and, you know, animals are harmed on screen right there for you to see. And once it stopped, I was like, okay, I get it. Never again. And there's a couple non-horror. There was a short film that was like Oscar nominated for best short film. And it's based on a true story about two boys, I think in England, who just were walking around in a mall and they found like a 2-year-old, and I forget the name of this movie. They found like a 2-year-old boy and they just took it, and they took it out for a walk and they started harming the 2-year-old boy, and they ended up eventually killing it. And it's about their deposition. Ooh. And I just remember sitting through it and just going, you don't see anything. You don't see anything, but just the way it kind of comes together and culminate. Once it's over, I was like, props to the filmmakers. That was great, but I don't ever want to live through that again.
Yeah, that sounds rough.
Yeah.
Have you ever had any noteworthy experiences seeing a horror movie in theaters?
So I think it's the first Insidious movie. Going back to James Wan, I think I was on a date or something, and I was in the movie theater, and I was just kind of joking around kind of with the girl I was with. And there's a jump scare, I think at one point, where there's just like a person or a ghostly person behind the crib that the baby's in. Mm-hmm. And I've gone back and watched this movie and got to that scare, and it doesn't really, it's scary, but like, it doesn't get me. And I just remember right at that, I leaped up out of my chair, screamed, and I'd never been so dramatic over a jump scare in my life. And this was on a date, and I mean, it didn't work out. But there's probably some other ones, but that's the first one coming to my mind. And yeah. I usually don't freak out at stuff in the theater, honestly. Sometimes it's at home because, you know, I don't know, something about being at home watching a horror movie in the dark. I'm sure anybody can relate to that, but.
Yeah, last night after the credits started rolling after Malignant, I audibly just screamed, "What the fuck did we just watch?" And everyone laughed.
Wow.
But.
Got me hyped. I'm gonna have to call out of work tomorrow or something.
It's not, no. I just think the trailer is a little misleading. So
I've heard that. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah.
So you grew up with haunted, spooky places in Massachusetts. Do you want to tell some of the stories?
Well, yeah, there's, let me take that from the top. There's just some places around. There's books and books and books of haunted New England here and there. My mom I blame her for feeding into my love of movies and especially scary stuff. She, you know, I'd find like a spooky book of New England short stories and yeah, sure, I'll buy that for you. And then I get nightmares and stuff. But in my own hometown, there's a couple things. First of all, there's this thing called the State Hospital in Northampton, Mass. It's completely run down. It's actually like, there's a lot of hiking trails and so many people are in there walking their dog, hiking their dog during the day. And it's a nice little, you know, nice little place to go out for the afternoon. But there's these abandoned buildings part, you know, insane asylum, part like it was around during World War II. There was a lot of wounded veterans who came home and stayed there for a while. It's actually where my grandparents met. My grandmother was a nurse there, and my grandfather had come home for a little bit, and the rest is history. But there is, I don't know of any exact paranormal TV shows and whatnot, but I know people have gone in there with cameras at night and tried to see what they could find and, you know, whatnot. And sometimes maybe you do pick up something on an audio recording. Maybe you do think you've seen something. And sometimes you might step on a homeless guy sleeping in there. But that's kind of been like the one of the like kind of haunted places in the area that I grew up around. There's another one, not far away from where I grew up. We call it the Quarter Mile, and it's just a straight road quarter mile goes along with like a little tiny lake on the side of it. On one side and the other side are woods. And people refer to this story as, they just call it White Sheet because they think they see someone walking around with like a white, like kind of like a generic person dressed as a ghost, but it's a, just a lot of unexplainable events. Like people have seen like someone on the ground with a white sheet over them in the middle of the road and like have swerved and gotten into accidents. A friend of mine from high school, his Jeep broke down on that road. He was driving to his girlfriend's who lives at the other end of the road. And he swears by it. He locked his keys, or he locked the car, took his keys, you know, whatever else he was carrying, started walking, and he gets a little ways down and his Jeep started on its own. Yeah. I don't know if that's fact or fiction, but that's what we've been told. There's just a lot of little things you can find, and it kind of helps with someone like me who's got a big imagination. And even if there's something where no matter you do any digging, you can probably still maybe think of something that's haunted or spooky. I don't know. It was a great place to grow up, to be a horror fan. I mean, we have Salem about 2.5 hours from where I grew up. A great place to go this time of year. Definitely. I miss it. I won't be up there this time. Well, I'll be up there after, but because it's such an old part of the country. I mean, that's pretty much the beginning of the United States was up in that, up in that part. So there's always these old stories that we still carry down to this day.
Yeah. I went to Salem for the first time July or August 2020. It's such a cool little town. And it's so close to Boston. It's just, I love it. Have you been to the Danvers Hospital where Session 9 was filmed in Massachusetts?
No, I haven't. I've heard plenty of stories about it, but I've always wanted to. There's so many things that when I lived and grew up there that, you know, it's like sometimes I find out after the fact. I just never got around to it. But no, and that's Session 9's a great film, by the way.
Yeah.
But do you like paranormal shows and stuff, or like kind of those found footage things?
I love found footage movies. I've never gotten into paranormal shows. I'm sure I would like them if I just needed something to watch, but for some reason I don't know. I never do.
My first gig ever out of college, well, I'm a college dropout, but was I worked on like a cable access paranormal thing. And we were up in the Berkshires, and there's a really, it's a museum now, but it was run by some rich family. And I was part of a paranormal investigation up there, and they had found really nothing in the video, but you know, when they're asking questions and whatnot, they were able to play back a voice, you know, saying a yes or a no, which was kind of cool. But yeah. I forgot where I was going with that, but anyway.
That's awesome. What was I going to say? I think the Danvers Hospital, after I researched it, after I watched Session 9 last year, it's now, I think they converted it into like condo apartments. So I would love to know if anyone lives there and if they're haunted.
That sounds like a loose sequel to Poltergeist. So.
Poltergeist was not scary. I watched that for the first time last year and I was like, what's the big deal? But yeah, I think I just saw it too late.
It's fun. Like I like it, but I get what you're saying. Yeah.
I watched a whole bunch of movies last year that I should have seen 10, 15 years ago. And I was like, these are all really silly. They're not scary at all. And they're like, yeah, you had to see them before you saw Scream. So
to one last found footage thing. Have you ever seen Taking of Deborah Logan?
Yes.
What'd you think?
Oh, I loved it. I think it's great.
That's a fun concept. You can keep doing found footage. I don't have a problem with it, but like, you know, sometimes it just gets repetitive but when that plot line I thought was an interesting take.
Yeah, definitely. Have you seen Hell House LLC?
I still haven't gotten around to that.
Oh, you should. You should. It's a really good found footage horror movie, and it's a Halloween horror movie, so it's coming up.
Yeah. Definitely. Oh, all right. I will add it I promise I will add it to my list.
I think it's on Shudder, and if not, it's on Amazon Prime. So
a Shudder last found footage one, I promise. Host.
Yes. Oh, of course. Oh. Yeah. I had Jed Shepard on like a few episodes ago. So
interesting. Wow.
Yeah, he's so nice.
I'll listen to that. All right.
Yeah, no, I love that. I bought it when they put out a limited edition on, I don't know if it's Blu-ray or DVD. And then I got it and I'm like, oh, this comes from England. I don't have a dual DVD player. So it's not getting played, but it's on my shelf. So.
Like so many people were probably trying to do a movie like that and it just, you know, fell flat.
Yeah.
And this is just a movie done on Zoom.
Yeah.
It just, oh my, and the effects are, I mean, I'm sure, you know, you've interviewed them, but the practical effects in it, oh my God. And it's like a 50 minute movie.
Yeah.
I'm excited that there's going to maybe be a niche potentially for like, you know, a movie that's a short, but it's not a feature, but it's not a short. So like, I don't know. I think it'll be cool.
Yeah. Have you seen Searching?
My wife did. I have a lot of things I haven't seen, but my wife did. I caught the tail end of it. And that is definitely a cool concept. And to get like a big actor in it, I thought was risky, but I think there was a big reward.
Yeah. I thought it was really good. And if you like Host, you would like Searching. I think, even though they're different, it's not ghosts. So, so in your initial email to me, you said that you're a filmmaker and that you're currently doing a lot of writing and developing in the horror world. Can you tell me anything about that?
Yes and no. I have a lot of, articles I've actually in the past few weeks, I've pitched out to places that I've been bouncing emails back and forth. I don't know what's going to come to fruition. That being said, I also have a few screenplays out there because I've the past few years, to really quick go over a resume here. I worked in network television and I was working for NBC and I was kind of hoping to maybe bump my way up the ladder and see if I could get a screenplay in front of somebody at Universal, even though I'm down here in Florida, but that never happened. That's a completely another episode of a different podcast. But so when I left there for pretty much reasons of them moving my department elsewhere, I just did a lot of screenwriting, which I've been doing my whole life. I've been writing since I was a little boy. And I said, I'm going to find a way to get stuff I've written out there any way I can, whether just through any networking or just through any blind luck. And I've had some luck pretty much during the pandemic. I was able to just make a couple connections, did a couple Zoom pitch meetings. Nothing has come to fruition, but I'm out there. I'm in the arena. And so I have a couple irons in the fire with companies. I can't really say I'm under an NDA, but we'll see. I don't know. Maybe in 6 months I'm on something. Maybe I'm not, but either way, it's been fun so far.
Oh, that's awesome. Good luck with that.
Thank you.
Hope to hear something, some good news back from that in 6 months.
Hope so.
So you also host a podcast called Tyler Geiss's Basement, where you talk about movies, and you said you've talked about several horror movies. Tell me about the podcast and what the horror episodes have been on, which movies.
So Tyler Geiss's Basement, or The Basement, whatever you want to call it. So many people over the years have said, you can talk, man. Like, you should do a show. You got to. And I was like, nah, I don't know. So obviously I feel like during the pandemic, a lot of people launched the podcast. And a lot of people launched a podcast, but like only did like an episode, because I'm sure, you know, a lot of people, like, there's work that goes into this thing.
Yeah.
Whether you're interviewing your friends or you know, find somewhat of a celebrity, like it there's work. And I didn't want to do it, but after the dust is kind of settled, I said, okay, I actually have this idea of, I kind of reflect on the concept of when I was younger, me and my friends, we used to sit in my parents' basement and watch movies, listen to music, and just have a talk, just life conversations or whatever we're watching or listening to. And I guess that sounds a little, you could say it sounds generic, but I don't know. It just kind of stuck with me. And I was like, why don't I just call it the basement or something? And, you know, I did a few interviews. We launched back in April, but I'd been doing interviews since like, I think February or March. And obviously I interviewed people I already knew, but people that were doing stuff. And it just started catching on. And, you know, we talk movies. It's very film centered. And, you know, I talk to other filmmakers here and there, but, you know, sometimes we just branch out and have like really deep conversations. It's kind of a hangout show, honestly. It starts out a little kind of button up, but, you know, once the floodgates open, we just start blabbering. I try to keep it somewhat structural, but, you know, and organized, but, and we're still going. I was just going to do like 8 or 10 episodes of like season one and then, you know, stop for 6 months and prep and do another one. But like people just keep, it just, the beast is up and moving. And I don't know what I'm trying to say there, but so horror centered, I had a friend of mine who's a childhood friend of mine, who's actually, he's kind of just like where I'm at as a writer. He's got people reading his stuff to maybe get a book published. He's down in Austin, Texas. And he's a big horror fan. I think kind of the first horror themed show is we just literally said, give me 3 movies you like on Shudder. I will give you 3 movies I like on Shudder, and we'll riff on it. And I think the episode was called, this episode isn't sponsored by Shudder, but it would be awesome if we did get, I forget what I called it, something like that. And kind of, we just had a really good conversation, and I noticed I could get people on that, like, maybe they don't like horror movies, but they like genre films or just, you know, comic books and stuff. And somehow like horror kind of gets woven in from time to time. Like I had a guy on who does a lot of artwork where he does like album covers and stuff and t-shirts and stuff. And he kind of blends this heavy metal punk rock with like horror stuff and like Cronenberg horror and whatnot. And I noticed I kind of just had like kind of, I from time to time, I just have these little niche guests on and we can riff on our love for the genre. So there's that, those 2 episodes. I got a couple episodes coming up in October. I'm actually prepping for it because October is completely devoted to, we're talking horror movies, we're talking spooky stuff, we're talking Stephen King. I'm about to tape an episode this week where me and this actress out of Boston are talking Scream Queens.
Nice.
So the entire month of October is going to be devoted to everything horror. So tune in.
Awesome. That sounds great. Are you in your basement now?
No, I'm in my office. We don't have basements in Florida.
Oh, that's right. Because of flooding?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure there's places like in northern Florida, maybe like out in the country that have something, but I'm in a cookie cutter Florida house.
Did you see the movie Crawl in 2019?
Yes.
I loved it.
I loved it.
They had a basement.
They did, but you want to know what? That's not 100% accurate because I think they filmed it in Louisiana. But at the same time, I don't think they'd be in a basement in Louisiana because of hurricane. I don't know, but it was a great movie. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I love that. I'm not usually a fan of that director. Who is that director? Crawl director.
I know Sam Raimi.
Sam Raimi. I'm not usually a fan of his type of movies. I don't like Evil Dead. Send your hate tweets to me, but I loved this movie. The director is Alexandra Aja.
Yeah,
she's great.
He's good. Yeah, he's good.
He's good. Yeah, So I'm just usually not a Sam Raimi person because I don't really like horror comedies. But
it's a tough genre. It's a tough thing to do. Yeah. What you mean?
Yeah. So what has been your favorite horror movie that you've watched so far in 2021? That was released in 2021.
Oh my God, it's so hard. Okay, so it's probably, it's on Shudder. I think it's a Shudder original. I don't know if you'd label it's definitely weird. You could label it horror. You could label it sci-fi. You could label it what the fuck. Fried Berry on Shudder.
I haven't seen it.
I think it was made in South Africa. I think it takes place in Johannesburg. It's pretty much it's about a drug addict, a guy on the streets who gets abducted by aliens, and yeah, wow. It's an acid trip of a movie. That's all I'll say.
Wow.
I don't know. I don't know if that's my favorite, but it's what's coming to mind right now.
Cool. Are you going back to movie theaters yet?
I did. I actually saw my first trip back was Quiet Place 2 back in, I think, April or May.
Yeah.
But I haven't gone as much as I've wanted to. I still haven't seen Candyman, and I kind of got the house to myself next weekend, so I think I'm going to probably hit the theater and see Candyman. Yes. We almost went this weekend, but it just didn't happen. But yeah. I wish I've gone as much as I may have said I wanted to, but I've definitely gone back to the theater.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm so happy to be back in the theater, even if I'm wearing a mask. Mm-hmm. So what horror movie are you most looking forward to seeing in the rest of 2021?
Candyman.
All right. How many times have we said it?
Twice. Oh, we're so screwed.
Yeah. Whenever that movie has been coming up, we're always like, how many times have we said it?
Okay. Change the subject now.
James Wan. Let's talk about James Wan.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Well, I hope you get to go see it next weekend. Mm-hmm. Do you and your wife have kids?
No, not yet.
Not yet. Sorry, I don't know if that's a sore topic. I was going to ask if they're getting into horror or how you plan to introduce your kids to horror.
Well, when we do have kids, and it's not a sour topic, I think it's fair to, I'm not gonna, you know, shield them. I mean, obviously I think there's some things out there that, you know, hey, no, you're not ready for this, but you're not ready for a Serbian film, if you know what that one is.
I haven't seen it, but I've read part of the Wikipedia page. I don't need to.
That's another one and done for me. That's a, you know, but I don't wear that as like a patch of honor, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think there's a lot of things even in non-horror movies that might like kinder. There's a lot of kinder trauma out there that, you know, me growing up in the 90s saw. I mean, the Indiana Jones movies come to mind. I actually was listening to a show, and one of your shows, and I think somebody mentioned that.
Yeah.
Not so much Raiders. Raiders of the Lost Ark has some moments. Last Crusade has a moment in the end where like he quickly ages and dies after drinking from the wrong holy grail, the wrong cup. But in Temple of Doom, that is a fucked up movie. And I actually learned that was kind of Steven Spielberg's divorce film. He was going through a lot personally. He was also dealing with the legal ramifications of what happened on the Twilight Zone movie, if you know that story. Two actors died on set.
Oh, yes. I've seen the documentary about that.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I think he was an executive producer on it, and I think it was him and John Landis were in a lot of hot water for that. And plus just a lot of personal things. And I think I look back at that and Temple of Doom, I feel like he was maybe just working out a lot of stuff that shows up on screen maybe. And there's a, I'm talking about me. Sorry. We're talking about, well, but like, I don't know, I guess because I saw a lot of movies that weren't necessarily horror movies, but had horror elements in the 90s. Have you seen Fire in the Sky?
I have not.
Oh, it's not a horror movie per se, but there is an alien experiment scene that is the thing of nightmares.
Okay.
Good God. YouTube it. But I guess, you know, when my kid comes to me with, you know, maybe something that's borderline, I think I'll make the judgment call if it's for them or not. I never had that situation when I was a kid. I, you know, cause I didn't screw with horror movies till I was maybe a preteen. but I think it'll, I'll get there in 10 years, but we'll see what happens. But I think I'll have very loose restrictions, but I trust that my child won't come up to me with Texas Chainsaw Massacre out of the gate, but I'm sure he'll know about, he or she will know about it.
Yeah. Texas Chainsaw Massacre isn't even all that bad. I was bored.
No, it's not. I did a rewatch on the August 19th. Forget which one it is. The day of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And yeah, that's, there's hardly any bloodshed in there.
Yeah. I was really bored. I was really happy when Franklin died, because he was so annoying. I want to watch the remake, because I think it probably has faster pacing.
The 2003 one?
Yeah.
The Michael Bay produced one? All right. I like it. It gets some flack, but I like it. It's fun.
I like the 2009 Friday the 13th better than the original.
So. I love it.
Yeah, it's great.
It's, why the hell does that? I mean, there's a lot of rights issues with that franchise, I guess, but my God, it's so fun. There's nothing, you know, you could nitpick stuff like, yeah, how can a mongoloid know how to shoot an arrow perfectly from like distances away? But that's an argument someone gave me recently, which I was like, yeah, I understand, but that's a fun one. I love that one.
Yeah. Are there any horror movies that you love that people generally don't like, or do you hold any unpopular horror movie opinions?
I imagine I do. This is just because it's, again, fresh in my mind, and it's back to the Halloween franchise. I love part two, and no one seems to like part two at all, because it has its problems. John Carpenter, like, that's where the whole Laurie Strode's a Michael Myers is a brother thing. And I guess it was John Carpenter could not think of a way to advance the plot forward. So he was drunk writing one night and was like, he is her brother. But I think it's a cool, I love how it takes place in that hotel or hospital, not hotel. Why'd I say hotel? It takes place in that hospital, that extremely understaffed hospital. There's like four people working the overnight shift in an entire hospital. But every time I mention it, like, just people are like, ew, you like Halloween too? And I'm like, I love Halloween too. I know. I don't know. It's fun. I don't know.
That's cool. I've actually only seen Halloween, H2O, and then 2018. So I've never seen any of the other sequels. Have you read the book that came out last year about the 24 sequels that were once going to be made?
What's the name of it?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Because I know there was one called Taking Shape.
I think it might be that.
Yeah, it's. I almost bought it on Amazon one day, and I still haven't read it.
Yeah. There's also a really good podcast that came out in 2018 called Halloween Unmasked. That's all about the making of the original Halloween. I would highly recommend that if since you really do like Halloween.
I will subscribe to that.
Yeah, it's just one season. They just did one season, so it's like 10 episodes or something.
Cool.
Yeah. If you could remake one horror movie, which one would it be?
You are really coming in with good questions at the end of this thing.
They're always the same too. And if you've listened to some episodes, you know they're coming.
Yeah, no. Like, I didn't think about this really. Because I didn't know if every guest was different or whatnot. But if I were to remake something, I would probably, sorry for the dead space. I'm thinking.
That's
okay.
That's what editing is for.
I would want to, and it's been remade, but I want to stab at it. Wicker Man.
Okay.
I would, I love Nicolas Cage. He's having a great renaissance, but I don't think that movie is Nicolas Cage's fault. it is what it is, but I don't know. I feel like, obviously, going back to kind of my love of horror movies about evil cults, or the scariest thing is cults that are evil that don't think they're evil. I don't know. I feel like I could have fun with that. I feel like I'd come to it with hopefully some good ideas. I mean, I know Midsommar kind of has some Wicker Man-esque things in it. So, but I don't know. I think something like that I'd like to remake.
Nice. Did you see, speaking of Nick Cage, did you see Willy's Wonderland?
No, that's on my list.
Yeah, it's really good.
I have someone who bought it Blu-ray and told me about it and said it was wild, but I am a diehard Mandy fan.
I haven't watched that yet. I think it's on my Shudder watch list, but
it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. My last question is, if you had to spend quarantine with one horror villain, who would it be?
Leatherface, just to listen to him. Like, I'm sure he's just trying to, I don't know. Like, he's just kind of a bumbling loser, you know, with a chainsaw. He's, you know, yeah, he's a bit of an inbred hillbilly, but I don't know. I think he's just got a story. Like, we don't know a lot about Leatherface. We kind of do, but I don't know. I feel like that's one titan of the slasher villains that maybe we should learn a little more about. And I don't think knowing their complete story within the context of the movie is something we full on need, but I don't know. I just, I'm sure he's got somebody he wants to talk about. I don't know.
Yeah. That is one that I haven't gotten before. So that's interesting.
Well, no, there was, I think the movie, I think it's just called Texas Chainsaw. It came out like 10 years ago, that one of the sequels. They do this. Actually, this should have been my movie everybody hates, but I love, because I actually liked this one. I just like how he's the final girl, and him are actually related, and he's kind of her ally in the end. And everybody hated that. I thought it was kind of cool. It was something different. I like sometimes when they roll the dice, and even if it doesn't pay off. So I think that's why I kind of like Leatherface, because that idea is fresh in my mind.
All right, cool. Well, thank you so much for being here. This is so much fun. Do you want to tell everyone where they can find you and your podcast on the internet?
Yeah, you can find Tyler Geist's Basement. New episodes air every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, iHeartRadio, and Podbean. And if you want to stalk me, I'm not really posting too much on Instagram, but you can stalk me. I'm at Mr. Geis, mr.geis. And my podcast is Tyler Geis's at Tyler Geis's Basement Pod. That's where you can find me for now.
Awesome. Well, I can't wait to hear what you think of Malignant. So definitely shoot me an email.
Definitely. All right.
That's it for this week's episode of Who's There. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Tyler Geis, and thanks again to Tyler for coming on. You can find links to all of his social media handles and his podcast in the show notes. You can follow us on Twitter at Who's There Pod. We're on Instagram at Who's There Podcast. Or if you have any questions, comments, concerns, horror movie recommendations, or you'd like to be a guest, shoot us an email at hello@whostherepodcast.com. Until next time, stay scary and get vaccinated.